Hi everyone! Welcome again to another episode of Women Leaders, a podcast by Nova. I am Manuela Vieites, your host and a content creation wizard at Nova. Or if you want to know the formal title, I am actually a junior marketing and communications manager at Nova. Even though I spend a big chunk of my schedule on creative projects like this one, I am also passionate about food, Formula One, and coffee. This time, I am happy to introduce you to my guest, Maria Perez Hulstrom, with whom I had a nice conversation on finding the right mentors in your professional growth, being a woman in private equity, and just making it in the industry. But first, let me introduce her. Maria has been a Nova member since almost the very beginnings of the network. She joined during her university years when the network had mostly top students. This was the Nova 100 Sverige. But today, Maria is partner and investment manager at Privec, where she has worked for more than 11 years. Privec is a Nordic private equity firm based in Stockholm with 131 company investments since 1983 and 28 companies IPOs. The investment focus is on small and medium-sized growth companies. Maria has also been a board member or deputy board member of companies like Creme International, Clean Air Scandinavia, Lamiflex Group, and Parfum Sverige Holding. She has studied at Stockholm School of Economics, from where she also holds a master's degree in finance, and also 4 years of industrial engineering and management from KTH, Royal Institute of Technology, as well as studies at Georgia College and State University. It is definitely a pleasure to speak to someone that has seen the Nova Network grow and develop to what it is today. Are you ready to hear her story? Welcome to Women Leaders, a podcast series by Nova that uncovers inspiring leadership stories from the women of the Nova Network who are driving organizations, people, or simply themselves, from the way they found their career path to their ups and downs and their definition of success. These are their stories and advice. So let's sit tight and get inspired. So welcome, Maria, to the podcast. I am so happy to have you here. I'm also happy and it is a pleasure to close up the first season of the Women Leader podcast with you.
Thank you. And thank you for the very nice introduction. It's really nice to be here. And I'm very honored that you reached out and wanted me to participate in the podcast.
In most of my podcast episodes, I like to start my interviews by going to the past and getting to know the teenager you. So I want to know, how was Maria at 14 years old? What were your aspirations back then, and how did you spend your free time as a teenager?
I was a very ambitious student. I was very focused on school, and I was kind of a nerd at my school. There weren't a lot of other kids with a focus on studying, which I found rather hard because I found myself like an outcast, but so that made me a little bit insecure and kind of hard to find my place. And I didn't have a clear path on where I was going. Both my parents have university degrees, so studying was always very important to me. And I knew that I wanted to become something, even though I had no idea where I would end up in the end.
And maybe you felt like an outcast and you were trying to find yourself, even though you didn't have like a complete set focus on where were you going. I imagine that you must have had some role models who have guided you during that path.
I would say my biggest role models would be my parents, for their kindness, support, and they have an enormous drive. And now they're in their 70s and they still have that same drive, which I think is very inspiring to see. I grew up in a family business where me and my brother, we are the fourth generation. And my brother is running the business together with my father today. It's a farm outside of Stockholm. And you always get involved with the family business. And it's a lot of fun, and I think my whole family has always had a drive and an aspiration to do something better, and that of course has been very inspiring to me.
Oh wow, so you guys own a farm basically, and you can you I just want to know, can you tell a little bit about what does your family do?
We grow crops. We have a lot of pigs. We have about 7 to 8% of the Swedish pig production. And then we also have some forest. We have a lot of tenants as well. I know how to drive a tractor and things like that, which actually is not, it doesn't come in handy when you're working finance, but it can definitely, put someone actually back to reality when I tell them that, because you meet a person in Stockholm dressed up and you're working in finance and everyone expects you to be a certain way. And I think that's really good that you actually have a broader perspective on things and actually have other experiences as well, and also meet other types of people, because even though finance is a, taking a larger part of the economy, that's not actually where real life happens.
Your whole family has been involved in this business in the farm and decide what you wanted to do in the future. And I wanted to know how your role models and even the farm that your family has, the business that your family has, help you into deciding what you wanted to do in the future.
I started studying both at the Stockholm School of Economics and the Royal Institute of Technology, which were more or less the areas that I was interested in. And along that way, I found that economics was much more interesting to me, and especially finance, because I like the logical part. I like the mathematical parts in finance. And then I thought that that would be a good stepping stone to do something in finance. And then on that's how it all started. And then I found out about private equity, and I think this is, where I belong and what I wanted to do with my life. So it wasn't easy, and it's not, but I had, as we spoke about earlier, two really good role models in my parents. And I think it's important for me. University was very important, but from home I also had a lot of drive, entrepreneurship, and also that you know how to work hard, because even if you think it's a glamorous job or you can earn a lot of money, it's still a lot of hard work behind it, and nothing, there's nothing such as a free lunch.
Some of your first jobs were in corporate finance and in the, it was in banking. Maybe a lot of your classmates, a lot of your friends went in to work in that field. But right after you finished your universities, you got your first role in finance. And I wanted to know if you can go back in time and tell me a little bit about your role back then and what made you particularly attracted into going into corporate finance and into banking.
I would say the trend was a little bit different to today. Like, everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, and in the mid 2000s, everyone wanted to go into banking, and the big thing that everyone wanted to do was to go to London. And I saw people coming back after a couple of years, and they looked very tired and not very happy either. I was rather insecure. And I thought it was scary, and to go to London and work for the big banks, and also that people weren't very well treated, which I'm very value driven, and we're going to talk about that later, but that's also why I ended up where I am at the moment. So for me, it was more important to choose where I wanted to work rather than is this the perfect role for my, next stepping stone.
And you decided to stay in Sweden, and then you continued your story, your professional growth, around 11 years ago at Privec Investment, a growth capital and private equity firm. After having your first experience with banking or investment banking, how did you decide to move towards private equity, and how this move that happened 11 years ago and you're still at the same place, how did it change you? What was the impact in your life?
Yeah, no, but of course I had come across, in banking, I came across a lot of private equity firms, and I thought that it, for me, it sounded very interesting. And it also had some of the features that I missed that you don't really see in banking, that is always transaction driven. And I wanted a longer time horizon or time perspective on the work that I was doing, because in investment banking, you do a pitch and then you deliver a project and then you leave the company after 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I was more interested in actually develop companies and to see them grow and actually to see where I could benefit and where I could contribute, rather than getting like the high you get during a transaction where you usually sell the companies. And I had come across Previc through one of the partners there. It's a woman, her name is Louise. She's now our CEO. It was an informal contact, and she, in that sense, she had told me a lot about the firm. So I knew them from her perspective. And as I said earlier, I'm a very value-driven person, so that was important for me. And I felt that this was a place where I could both contribute, but also a place where I actually agreed on the values. And what I found interesting was that we're investing in small and mid-sized companies. And from my more entrepreneurial background, from my family business, I found that much more interesting.
So you found your place because you have been there for 11 years. I just wanted to know, and maybe you've taken it from the point of view of your firm, how would you describe the role of a partner at a private equity firm?
Well, going from as where I started as an analyst, where it was a lot of number crunching, PowerPoint presentations, and maybe I'm rather detail oriented and I like math. But today, my most of my work, when the day has ended, I'm thinking like, okay, what did I do today? And most of my time is actually handling people. It's making sure that the board is in a portfolio company is working well with the management, handling a CEO that has some problems in a portfolio company, or making sure that the portfolio companies actually close down enough projects so that they become profitable, or handling actually people within a transaction when you're either going to buy or sell a company. So I think it's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot listening to people. I think you need to have an understanding on the numbers and how the business model works. But in the end, it all comes down to like, who is going to actually do the work. And that's not going to be me, because I'm, representing the owner and I'm on the board, but actually making sure that the management team in your company is actually making the right choices.
And I wanted to jump into something else, because I know that maybe throughout your career and even in your personal life, you might have had a lot of challenges, but what have been your major challenges that have made you grow, and how did you overcome those?
Being a woman in finance, it's not very easy. In Stockholm or in the Nordic region, we have a lot of private equity firms, all the Nordics banks and some of the banks from the international investment banks, they also have offices in Stockholm, but there are hardly any women. And there are a couple hundred men that are partners within private equity firms, but we're only 9 women, of which 4 are at my firm. So you're actually rather alone as a woman, which I found hard, because you don't really find any role models, and you feel different. You don't really fit in because you're a woman. So I For me, the solution was to find a value-driven company with the right management that actually makes sure that you can develop over time, not just, you know, the upcoming 6 months or 3 months, but actually make sure that you can develop over time. And I've had three kids at Prevec, and I don't think that would be have been possible at any other firm, to be frank. So I would, you know, choose carefully and make sure that there is a firm that has an understanding that you're going to be there for the long run, because you have a business plan for a portfolio company, and that's going to be 5 years, and you need to make sure that you have a business plan for yourself within the firm that is at least 5 years. And then it's not going to be important if you delivered exactly this project these, you know, months or not, but as long as you deliver over time. So that was, for me, that has been very important. And then, even though we're a small firm, we're 16 employees at Prevec, there is always office politics. And what you need to, if you want to be successful, you need to find internal mentors, and maybe not formal ones, but informal mentors that within your organization that are going to help you. So you also need to find your network within your firm where you're working to make sure on all levels, to make sure that you are positioned and that you get help to take the next step. And then also, having children is, well, of course, the best thing I've ever done, but it's also tough at some times. And there I can only say that get as much help.
I was just impressed of the ratio number that you were telling me of women in finance. Even though you said that it was hard for you to find mentors during your time, probably or most likely you are and you will become one of the mentors of younger girls who want to be in private equity, because you are shaping, let's say, an industry. And I wanted to go into another talking point that I was also wondering, because as I already mentioned, you have been at Prevec for 11 years now. And this is something that I see for people that are my age. I am 24 right now, and people sometimes used to have the tendency to jump into different jobs. Sometimes it is said or it is discussed by some authors that it is because of the of us wanting to find the place in which we're completely passionate, the passion theory, which is sometimes really hard to do. You can find passion outside of your job as well. And also because sometimes you can grow faster professionally if you keep on jumping and asking for better salaries and asking for better titles and such and so. And I wanted to know, which factors do you consider the most important in order to grow in one company for such long period of time? And if you can also mention a little bit about your growth inside of Prevec.
Yeah. No, so I think, first of all, if you're going to stay at a company, you need to make sure that there is actually space for you to grow. Either that the company is big enough so you can move up the ladder, so to speak, or that the company is growing to make sure that they will, you know, there will be new opportunities for you there. And I think there you also need the mentors to actually find the internal mentors that I talked about to make sure that you find your path that works for you within the company. But I also think that even though you can always, you know, learn something new at in a new position or get a higher salary or whatever you're looking for, and you were talking about the passion mindset, but I think this is probably for you as 24 is going to be a rather, you know, boring and dull answer, but you know, when I was 24, I was done with my university degrees and I just started working, and of course I was super passionate about everything, but not every day of your work life is going to be passionate. So you need to make sure that you have a long-term plan. Like, where do I want to go and why? What is important to me? And then jumping on to the next more flashy or trendy job, that's not going to give you that in the long run. After 20 years jumping between different companies, people are going to ask, what did you actually learn? Because you stayed there for 6 months or 1 year. For me, I'm now 40. That's not, you know, being experienced. That is, you know, I was home with my child for 6 months and no one even cares about that. But you need to build relationships and networks, and that's also how you can grow. So I think you need to find the company that can match your long-term plan, like your five-year business plan. And maybe that is in the beginning, somewhere where you can, you know, move up the ladder fast, or if you want to jump between different companies. But in the end, to get really experienced and to find a proper network, then I think you need to actually stay a little bit longer.
Actually, I have been exploring this topic in particular for quite a while, and I would even add to what you say that you need to have an introspective work, and you have to ask yourself a lot of important and difficult questions in order to understand where you want to go and what you want to be. I just wanted to wrap up this session of the interview by asking you that if you would have to give any piece of advice to anyone who wanted to start to work at a private equity firm, which advice would you give to them?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to have you need to have the basics. So a good university degree is, of course, important, and a well-known school is going to help you get the first interviews. And I hope, or I believe, that is somehow changing, because you need different types of experiences. And if this is something that you really want to do, I think it's today it's very popular to get internships, mostly at investment banks, and there you actually get some type of knowledge. And then I would say it's better to take 6 months. And then it's a lot of hard work. And I would also say that find your own way and find the firm that you really want to work for and go for that one instead of trying just to get higher up in your organization. Because in the end, what is you're not going to ask yourself if I worked enough, but you also wanted to have fun along the way. And then I think you need to have a lot of attention to detail to make sure that you have everything and you have the numbers under control, because you usually work with leverage, a lot of leverage. And then you need to have a lot of attention to detail, but at the same time, not lose the strategic focus. Where is your business plan in 5 years? Where do you want to go and why? Oh, yeah. And then the last thing you need to handle is people. It's a lot of people management. And
what I usually like to do to wrap up my podcast, I finish by asking the same three questions to every single women leader to get to know their perspective and their words of advice. So the first one is, in your own words, how would you define success?
I would say being satisfied with your work and contributing to society. I think that will be, in the end, is not whether I made the best deals or whether I was the most successful person at my firm, is whether I think that I did my best effort and that something that I'm satisfied with and that it made big impact.
And then if you could go back in time and you could give a piece of advice to your younger self when you were around 20 years old, what would you say?
I would say don't stress. There is enough time to do everything. I was very involved in both the student unions, working and studying at two different universities. So I would say don't stress. There is enough time to do everything, and love yourself a bit more and don't be so hard on yourself. I was very judgmental towards myself, and that is something that I wished I wouldn't have been.
And to wrap up, for anyone listening to us who would like to excel at a private equity firm, who's already in the industry and just wants to be a little bit better every day, which advice would you give to them?
Well, as I mentioned before, I would say get internal mentors, informal ones that are the ones that are going to help you to be successful at the firm. But even if you're interested in it or not, you need to figure out the political game, because there is always a political game at every firm. And you need to figure out how it works, and you need to play it, whether you like it or not. And then it's just work hard, and you need to make sure that you think that is fun in the end. And for me, it is. And my portfolio companies they become like my extra babies. So it's like breaking up with someone when you sell them. But I really enjoy the work.
Wow. Thank you so much for all your answers, your words of advice, and the time to record this podcast, Maria. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. For now, this is the last episode of the first season of Women Leaders. Thank you so much for coming with me on this journey of meeting amazing women of the Nova Network and listening to their amazing and inspiring stories. Stay tuned for podcast seasons coming soon. Nova is the global by invitation only top talent network that connects high potential individuals amongst themselves and with the best professional opportunities. We create these connections through in-person events and through our online platform, which we call Nova Connect, using data and algorithms to make the connections relevant for our members and partner companies.